This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When you think of a battlefield, you think of chaos, smoke, dust, debris, and a lot of noise.
Wait for my command.
There you go, a scene from Saving Private Ryan. War is loud. But if military planners have their way, it may get a little quieter. At Camp Lejeune Marine Corps Base in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Marines are participating in a large-scale sound experiment. They're using suppressors, which you may know as silencers, to muffle the sounds of their weapons. WUNC military reporter Jay Price joins me now. Welcome, Jay.
Thanks for having me, friend.
We're going to quiet the war, huh? Tell us what's going on here.
Well, it is a big experiment, and it's several months in. And this thing is kind of ripe on the vine. These suppressors are proving themselves. And about 2,000 Marines, about half of them here and about half based on the West Coast, have these carbines, these rifles with short barrels, essentially, that are equipped with sound suppressors. And they're testing how they work on traditional firing ranges and in large unit exercises on more open terrain. And some of them are actually deployed overseas with them now. And, you know, you got to think about this as mainstreaming something that Special Operations has been using for quite a while. And they're going to be mainstreaming some other things. They've started testing just now a helmet borrowed from Special Operations. It has these electronics that go with it, which is this system of hearing protection, hearing enhancement, and an integrated radio system. So it protects the ears from explosions and loud gunfire like we were just hearing in that really kind of iconic clip from Saving Private Ryan. You know, that D-Day scene goes on and on and on. It's this terrible chaos. You know, when I first saw it, I was kind of shocked, but it's really realistic. They can't really control command very well in that sort of chaos. And that's the whole point of what they're trying to do with suppressors, is trying to reduce the sound.
And it has less to do, I mean, to some degree, protecting hearing, but more than that, being able to hear the important things like commands and suppress the sounds of war, the gunfire.
Yeah, they want to be able to command, you know, their troops, and they want the troops to be able to hear them and have confidence that they will be able to hear commands and be able to maneuver properly. And it's really, really hard. One way to think about all this before we get in serious detail on it is that mainstream U.S. forces are already using night vision to enhance their sight, to give them that real sharp edge. They say they own the night is one way to look at it. And now the Marines are trying to control and reshape the soundscape of the battlefield, the way they use their ears.
And so part of that has to do with dampening the sounds of weapons primarily. You know the weapons are firing. We got it. But I have to be able to hear this command. And then the other side of that is to be able to enhance hearing. So if those commands and somebody on 50 yards either side of me is something I do want to hear, they're working with helmets that might enhance those sounds as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the main goal, and the main goal is to maintain what they call command and control, to do a good job of commanding the troops and everything. Troops hear that. The way that these things change the sound of the weapons helps them do that close up, but 25 meters away, you can still hear them fairly well, frankly. They're still not very quiet. But they change the nature of the sound, not just its volume. And it may be that you can't hear your own troops if they're just 25 meters away over a slight rise. They spotted the enemy and they've started firing. You may not instantly know that you've got a problem over on your right flank.
All right. So let's give us a sense. If this is hard to do, sound is a freakish and a funny thing because so much of what we perceive as sound happens in the brain and not the ears. Well, we do have a some sense of the difference between loud weapons and muted weapons. So let's take a listen. All right, there you go. Bang, bang, and pop, pop, I would describe them as.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I tried to do there was, and it's really difficult as anybody who's actually heard a weapon fired close up and then heard a weapon in the movies. They know it's really difficult to reproduce it. But what I did try to do is at least give some sense of how much the change is. And, you know, anyone who's ever heard it can kind of understand that, but you know, what I tried to do was record a Marine with a suppressed weapon and an unsuppressed weapon at kind of the same distance. The first one you heard there was unsuppressed, then you heard two rounds suppressed at exactly the same distance and same recording level.
And again, it's the pitch, it's the timbre, all of these things. And when they add up, they can have a different effect. And you spoke with Chief Warrant Officer Christian Wade, right? And he explained a little bit about what this technology, what they hope from this technology.
So being able to talk with each other on the battlefield, you know, even at 50 meter distances is huge. It makes things so much easier. Imagine this, when you can understand the Marines to your left and right, or when your squad leader or team leader gives you an order, you understand it the first time. And it starts to help more, or it's more noticeably helpful, as the team starts to get combat replacements and you start to get Marines that don't quite know the team leader so well and don't kind of intuitively or instinctively, they haven't worked with him long enough to become used to just how he looks at him and his mannerisms and hand and arm signals. I guess the bottom line is it really helps to hear the first time clearly and decisively carry out that action rather than what? You know, it's chaos.
All right, Chief Warrant Officer 5, Christian Wade, and I'm talking with WNC military reporter Jay Price. What I knew about silencers mostly came from noir films and spy movies, and one of the things that the hitman would always worry about was that the silencer would somehow throw off his aim. That's what I know from the movies. Is that true? Does it affect accuracy at all?
Well, apparently not. Wade, you just heard, oversees weapons stuff for the entire 2nd Marine Division, major part of the Marine Corps. He's the gunner for the division, which is kind of this venerated position. You know, he's kind of mythical almost. He's a big thinker, and he's a big believer in suppressors, which he used in a small unit as a sniper. And what he's been trying to do is, one of the first things he's been trying to do is kind of dispel some of the myths so that the young Marines, you know, have confidence in what they're trying to do there. And he's done a video that's really interesting about how it does not slow the round down. There's a lot of discussion that it makes the bullets less effective and takes the edge off of what they do or don't do. But he said that they've also been tracking a lot of data on what it does to accuracy. And he said it actually makes the young Marines shoot better. They're a lot more accurate, use less bullets to get the same effect or better effects. It's odd, but this heavy little weight at the end of the barrel changes the harmonics, the vibrations of the barrel in a way that's beneficial is one thing. But probably the bigger thing is that they don't have all these distractions of these other people shooting in their ears. They're not flinching as much themselves. The rifle doesn't recoil. The carbine doesn't recoil as much. There are all kinds of reasons that it actually works better.
All right. And you talked, we hinted at one of the downsides of this, but let's get into a little more detail about one of the worries that if everybody's using these, you might not hear your own, you could be subject to friendly fire simply because you didn't realize that those were your friends on the other side of that hill.
Yeah, that example I was citing about that distance and that hill was one that he gave me, that he was out on a range that he's deeply familiar with in California, and he started hearing these bullets smacking into this target near him, and he wasn't in any sort of danger. It wasn't that sort of angle. But he was kind of startled to figure out that he couldn't hear the weapon being fired, and he was hearing the bullets smack into the target, and he walked toward where he thought the shots were coming from, topped a small rise, and there was a Marine there in concealment just a short distance away, and now he could hear him.
That's why, by the way, the gunner is legendary. They walk toward the gunfire. but now talk about the bionic ears, because they work a little bit like our noise suppressing headphones on our air flight, right? We can hear the symphony but not the engines of the airplane. This works a little bit like that, but also raises the level of voices that you want to hear.
Yeah, they're kind of colloquially called earmuffs. But you know, anybody who's seen somebody kind of directing aircraft down on the apron with those headphone things on, you know, it's basically the same sort of thing now. It's not unproven technology by any stretch of the imagination. Sports shooters use them all the time. Basically, the main target there is protecting your hearing. But they also, and some of them have this ability to kind of enhance quieter sounds. They basically have a couple of microphones in them. They take the sound in, digitally process it, and then decide what to dampen down or blank out entirely. Something's going to be too loud, too harmful. And they also, you know, if you adjust them right, can help you hear things you might not otherwise hear.
All right, so they're also experimenting with those. But, of course, we won't be the only ones with this technology. The bad guys are going to get it as well, right? That's something we have to think about in any kind of an arms race.
Yeah. I mean, this technology isn't new. These suppressors, for example, have been around for more than 100 years, pretty much a similar form. Teddy Roosevelt used one and for hunting. But the Russians now, if you look online, you can see some pictures of Russians carrying systems very similar to this, and they're ready to go. And they won't be the first nor the last to start adding new stuff in, just as we do.
So you talked about carbines, which is a particular kind of weapon, a kind of a rifle with a shorter barrel. Any other kind of weapons, or is that the only weapon this could be used on?
Wade is actually fitting machine guns, kind of for a different reason. When somebody opens up on you with a machine gun from the other side, the machine gun is a serious target. You start aiming at that first because it can cause a lot of destruction. And, you know, it's a lot more helpful to have them, you know, concealed as best they can be concealed. This helps with smaller weapons too, but he's fitting machine guns. And again, this has been done before, but they want to see how it plays out on a kind of a larger scale. Not much you can do for artillery, rockets, things like that. But
Jay Price, WUNC military reporter. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
Links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new book that delves into subcultures of the South, the Bohemian South, from Poe to Punk. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.